The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
I mean, I thought that, you know, at the beginning of the year, we're talking about the playoffs. And I understand because of the injuries, that makes it very difficult. But maybe there was a misunderstanding about how much talent they thought they had on this team. I'm not saying these guys aren't talented, but maybe they're, as a group, they're not as talented as we all thought.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome back in. Mark Grody and Anthony Herron in for the boys today. McNeil and Parkins are both off, and it is expected that at least the Dan McNeil portion of the show shall return tomorrow. I'm not sure about the Danny Parkins part of
the
things.
The surgically repaired?
Mac and Speed. I've just been told it will be Dan McNeil.
So it'll be like a breaking news banner that runs
yes,
with that?
Yes, and
anything?
Matt Spiegel right. will be in tomorrow as Danny is home with the little boy Owen for a little while longer. So Big Ant and me today, and as a matter of fact, Ant and I will be in, we just realized, together this Thursday and Friday, as mm-hmm. you and I, sir, will be in for Lawrence Holmes
and
from 12
so
to 2.
Good. Yes, be reunited.
Absolutely. And the voice you just heard coming back in, Will Perdue, a Bulls champion. He is currently a Bulls analyst for NBC Chicago. And he joins us, Will Perdue does, on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Will, my former broadcast partner, we did one glorious show together.
Really?
Yes, we did, and we loved it. Will, how are you, sir?
We.
Well, you must have complained and said, I can't work with that guy. We haven't worked together since.
I know what happened. I don't know where the breakdown was. I mean, I saw the ratings on that. They were near a 10, Will.
Oof.
Hey, once you get close to double digits, you can start negotiating your own contract.
Absolutely. I think that's what it was. I think you got too expensive, my friend. Hey, Will, what did you think about the weekend of All-Star weekend here in Chicago? What were your thoughts on it?
Well, I thought it was outstanding. You know, listen, those of us that live in Chicago, consider ourselves to be Chicagoans, we knew what the city had to offer. I know that initially a lot of people were talking about the weather on Thursday, but that was brief. But I thought that, you know, as far as the dunk contest was spectacular. I don't like the fact that it ended with a little controversy. You know, that's just Dwayne Wade should have never been on the panel when they had a guy from the Miami Heat in the dunk contest. I'm curious if Dwayne did that intentionally so he picked up a few more followers on Twitter and Instagram so that he was trending, but That's a discussion for another day. But I thought that the whole thing about changing the format hit a home run. Now I think we have to talk about tweaking it a little bit, and I think that some of those players are right. You can't win the game on the free throw line. It's almost like street ball. You have to win by two.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they should have just kept going.
I agree with that. And where's Jordan in all this? Shouldn't Jordan have been more of the forefront? Where was he? Come on.
Well, I know he was in town because he had the birthday party.
Did you go?
And no, I did not.
Okay.
So I went to – I did a lot of NBA care stuff. My wife and I went to Saturday night, and then this will – you'll love this. My wife actually went on Sunday without me because I said I prefer to watch at home on the couch. And she had never been to All-Star Weekend, and – about halfway through the Sunday event, she's like, all right, I'm ready to come home, slide over. But I agree with you, and I don't know whose responsibility that was. I'm surprised the league didn't step up and pressure him a little more.
Yeah.
And maybe they did, and maybe he just said no, because he's like, hey, this isn't my organization anymore. My organization's in Charlotte. I don't know. I don't know how that whole thing went, but I agree with you 100%. I would have loved to have seen him on the forefront. And I'm really surprised, quite honestly. I know he was part of that tape portion of the open with Common, but I'm mm-hmm. surprised he didn't do something live.
Yes.
Why was it Magic Johnson instead of Michael Jordan?
I agree. I mean, the only thing I could think of with Magic is because of the Kobe factor, but it's not, I mean, honestly... Yeah, that should have been drawn. I was thinking the exact same thing. Big
we had some folks on the text line, as Mark and I were discussing it earlier, Will, who their opinion was kind of maybe Mike just didn't want to overshadow the Kobe aspect of it. I mean, you know Mike better than anyone else talking about this right now. I mean,
I don't
does
think
that seem like the type of decision that he would make for that type of reason?
then that's quite possible. That could have been the case because he would have. And let's just hypothetically say that's the case. Then I agree with him. That might have overshadowed the Kobe situation a little bit because of that is the house that Jordan built. And he does have that statue out there, you know, that everybody knows about, that everybody comes to take a picture with. And so, you know, we don't know. We just were talking about what we'd have liked to have seen. Mm-hmm. But maybe that was a solid educated decision on his part. And he was around, but he wasn't necessarily available.
Yeah, he's so elusive, is Jordan. And to the end of, like, people saying, well, he didn't want to overshadow Kobe. Kobe Bryant looked up to Michael Jordan. He didn't lie about it. He said he modeled his game after Michael Jordan. The way he spoke was similar to Michael Jordan. The way he walked was similar to Michael Jordan. I think it would have meant more to the family, I think, than even Magic Johnson doing it because of the magnitude that Jordan holds. But, you know, that's just, he's an elusive guy, Will. I mean, you got to get on him.
Yeah, well, get him, Will.
I'll have to send him a text message and get through all his handlers, and then we'll see what we can
seriously
figure out.
Could you pick up the phone and call Michael Jordan? I'm not saying do it, but could you, hypothetically, if you
actually
wanted to?
Would you call Mike right now and just see if we can live ring him to get him on the show?
Like, if you called him, like, in life, would he pick up for a Will Perdue?
Probably not.
No. You couldn't. What about a text message? Could you text him?
I don't have a cell number, so I can't.
All right, now we're getting down to it. Okay.
As you can tell,
a few phone calls and probably get it, but that doesn't necessarily – I mean, he's probably got like six phones. So
that's true. All right, let's get down to some of the Bulls business. And there's a story that came out today from Joe Cowling, the Sun-Times, actually hit last night, saying that the Bulls are laying the groundwork for front office change. And I know some of this came out of the Daily Herald last week as well, and we've all heard little bits and pieces of this throughout the year. Is it time for big change with the Chicago Bulls, Will?
Well, let me put it this way. It's definitely time for change. I know we can try to lean on injuries. We can talk about injuries. We can talk about how the injuries can derail a rebuild. And, you know, you played that little piece coming out of the top of the hour. I just think that individually, regardless of the injuries, there's too much talent on this team for them to only have. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Do we still only have 19 wins?
Yes, 19 and 36, a six-game losing streak.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but I was almost positive. I think we've lost six in a row. But, you know, I honestly have told myself that, okay, I'm going to put the first part of the season behind us. You know, because I'm tired of talking about it. I've been very disappointed. Those that watch the show know that I've been very vocal about it. And I said, I'm going to try to wipe the slate clean. It's 0-0. I personally am not even thinking about the playoffs. From this point forward, the last 27 games to me should be about evaluation and evaluation only. Now, if while you're evaluating, you figure a couple things out, you start winning games and you make the playoffs, more power to you, because I know there's a lot of people that disagree with this, but I think that there are certain players, a Lauri Markkanen, a Zach LaVine, a Wendell Carter Jr., who everybody has mentioned, including himself, should be playing on Thursday. I think they would get invaluable experience. Even though they may play Milwaukee, even though they may get swept, I think those four games would be a great experience for these guys, because the one thing that it would tell them is we got a lot of work to do. I know it's one thing if you don't make the playoffs, because you're like, hey, we got work to do. But if you do make the playoffs and then you start to see the difference between the best team in the Eastern Conference and the team that just made it into the playoffs, and you see the disparity between the two, don't talk about the score. Don't come to me and say, well, we lost four in a row, but we only lost by an average of 6 points. Come on. Let's just talk about the disparity between the two. That tells these guys, which are talented, how much more work and how much harder they have to continue to work to continue to move and not take move forward by baby steps, but move forward by leaps and bounds.
Four-time NBA champion Will Perdue, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. You can find Will on Twitter at Will_Perdue32. And Will, when discussing Lauri Markkanen, it seems like the familiar refrain has kind of become that he's in some way been miscast in the Jim Boylan offense at this point. Do you think that that's accurate? And if so, what adjustment could be made to make Lauri look more comfortable out there?
Well, he seems to be the guy that's kind of gotten lost in this offense, in the sense that we've saw the first game of the year. What was it 35 points? We're like, all right, man, this guy's ready to roll. And then, you know, kind of like flatline. And then he steps up again. And then, so what we didn't expect was the inconsistencies. Now, I can't tell you if injury had something to do with that, because, you know, Boylan had been talked about. He's toughening it out. He's trying to play through. He's doing this. He's doing that. So maybe he's been hurt since day one. We don't know, because there hasn't been a lot of transparency, and that's something they don't necessarily have to be transparent about. But the one thing I would like to see from Lauri Markkanen is a more aggressive attitude, a more aggressive style of play. And he's done a nice job talking about, hey, I need to do better. I need to be more aggressive. But at the same time, I think he's also been a little timid in regards to how he's responded to the media, in regards to, okay, don't just talk about how you have to be more aggressive. What is it specifically that you need to do a better job of? Or is there something within the offense that you feel needs to change so you can become more aggressive and be more successful? I know a lot of people say, well, that's not the way it's supposed to work. When I played, that's not how it worked. But things have changed. Players speak up all the time. It's now a player's league. So I feel like to be heard, you have to be the squeaky wheel. And sometimes to make changes, you have to step out of your comfort zone and do things that you don't want to do.
Will, back to the idea of, as you said, evaluating these players in the final rush, the end of the season. And Paxson's alluded to that as well, saying when he last spoke that they don't know what they have. So here we are, all in a position to evaluate the players and those guys, as you said, Markkanen, LaVine, Wendell Carter. Let's say they play together and it continues to not look good with all those guys on the floor, because I feel like the chemistry simply has not been there with them. What if it continues to be that way for these final games of the season, once they are healthy and back out there? Then what in the offseason? Do you have to cut your losses at that point and move on in a different direction with the players and not just management?
Well, I think, as you know, what was alluded to over All-Star Weekend was that, you know, and let's just say hypothetically the story was correct. Gar's going to get moved and become basically a scout. Pax is going to slide behind the scenes, maybe be more of an advisor, a la Doug Collins. I'm not 100% sure. And they're going to bring in a voice, a new voice, a new face, a fresh mind to now work on this situation. And usually what happens when that happens is that fresh face and that fresh voice wants their coach.
Yeah.
So that means that Jim Boylan, this is just a hypothetical situation, would be out. Now, the question is, with that statement being made, does that mean that you then hold fast on your players because you're going to bring a new coach in with a new system? So then we have to hold steady on the players to see if the players adapt to the new system, to the new coach, better than they did with Boylan and Fred Hoiberg? Or do you feel like, okay, we've seen enough, which I think we have from an individual standpoint, outside of the younger players, most notably Kobe. And everybody says younger players, they're all young. I think we know what Zach can do. I think we obviously know, when we've seen good Lauri, what he can do. I think we've seen what Wendell Carter Jr. can do. Like, we know what Chris Dunn can do, even though he's going to be a free agent. We don't know what Coby White can do. So he's a guy, and I know a lot of people are like, well, he needs to start. Well, I disagree with that. What he needs is minutes. And what he needs is to play with different guys in the lineup to see who he plays well with. So I think you hit it on the head. I don't think it's about, you know, individual talent anymore. It's does this group have chemistry? Can they develop chemistry?
Yeah.
Or do they just not fit well together and we need to make some changes to improve that chemistry?
Well, whenever we see guys putting up numbers on bad teams, the term empty calories gets thrown out there a lot. And the couple of times I've come out to games this year and watched Zach LaVine in person, I've been really impressed with kind of the urgency, the vigor that he kind of plays with. And it seems like he's at least trying to at times get that same thing out of some of the other guys on the court with him. And the games I came to have been post-injury. Obviously, Otto Porter hadn't been out there. Wendell Carter's been out for an extended period of time. I mean, I've seen him out there with the Pips. You know, it's been Zach LaVine and the Pips at the games I've been to. And I think, you know, while I don't know that I'd go as far as say Zach LaVine can be maybe the best player on a championship team, but I think not just in personality a star, but I think he's a guy with real growth potential to be perhaps one of the main two players on a great team from what I saw. What do you think the ceiling is for a guy like LaVine?
Well, that's what we don't know, because you made a valid point. He's been a scorer on losing teams, Minnesota, Chicago, and he's been the best player on those teams. So you have to ask yourself, what if he wasn't the best player? What if he was the second best player? Does that actually make him better, even though he's not the best player per se? Because, listen, when you talk to Zach, he'll tell you he's got to get better on defense. He's got to be more consistent. He's got to give a better effort. You know, at times you see him do exactly that, but he hasn't been consistent with that. And that's difficult because, quite honestly, when you ask so much of a guy on the offensive end, and players, I mean, people can disagree with me all you want, but you have to find places on the court to rest.
Right.
What you don't want is a guy to rest on the defensive end. But if you're relying on a guy so heavily because of injuries to lead you in scoring, and not only lead you in scoring, but to try to jumpstart the offense, more times than not, he's going to take some rest on the defensive end. He's going to cut some corners, and yeah, he's going to take some flack for it and some criticism. But he's also going to be like, all right, if you want me to rest on offense, we may struggle to score at all. So you know what? I'm going to take a rest here or there on defense, because I think even though he's only playing like 33, 34 minutes a game, and I know some people are like, well, what's the difference if he plays 33, 34 than 38, 39? That 5 minutes is huge. I think he needs to play more minutes. But that means, okay, then he's got to take more time to rest somewhere. But listen, I don't necessarily agree with the defensive philosophy as it is, but at the end of the day, as you just pointed out, Zach's trying his best. He's trying to do what he can offensively. He's trying to do what he can defensively. You know, he's not necessarily taking a team-first attitude, but he's trying to put the team on his back when he can and trying to help them win games.
Will, thank you for your time, man. We certainly will be watching you on Bulls pre- and post-game on NBC Chicago. We always appreciate your honesty. And one of these days, man, we're going to get you back in this studio, brother.
Well, I just appreciate it if you know. It's kind of like some people have a no trade clause in their contract. I think you put I'm not working with Will Perdue clause in your contract. Just take that out of your contract.
I know, man. Here's one of my demands. When I come in here, 3 hard-boiled eggs, 2 bubbly waters, a large coffee, and no damn Will Perdue. That's it. That's all I ask for.
But is it green or red M&Ms?
Oh, that's a great question. I prefer the red, but thank you.
All right.
See you, Will.
Enjoy it, guys. Thank you.
That is Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. And you could also find Will on Twitter at Will_Perdue32. And yes, people forget he picked up a 4th title to his name. In San Antonio, the Bulls got some good bang for their buck in that particular trade because it brought Dennis Rodman. It was pretty much a straight up trade. Will Perdue to San Antonio for Dennis Rodman. And then the Bulls would go on to win 3 more championships.
Worked out pretty well for the guys here in Chicago.
There it is. Coming up next, hey, we're going to have some fun. We are going to hear there is a little bit of roasting going on with the folks at TNT and the NBA All-Star Weekend and the Roast Master. We're not talking about small time here. We're talking about Jeffrey Ross, the greatest roaster of all time, as far as I know. And that's what he does. Big Ant picked up on some of this. I have not heard it yet, but since you said it's hilarious, I'm going to look forward to it, and we're going to play that next for you.
You will enjoy.
Mark Grody, Anthony Heron, in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Victoria's Secret down there.
Oh, my trucker goodness. Do that right now. Entertainment in Houston.
I bet you couldn't do that to them big-ass women in San Antonio.
We're not even in San Antonio.
No, you could do that to them little skinny Houston women. You can't do that to them big old women in San Antonio.
Why not?
Hey, you kick one of them big old women in San Antonio. They're going to fly through.
What about Victoria's Secret?
Oh, Victoria's Secret down there.
She's still a secret?
Oh. Give me some more. Yucking it up on TNT like they do. Mark Grody, Anthony Heron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are in for McNeil and Parkins. Half is a guy.
Millionaires. We don't care. I'm trying to pick the words very, very succinctly. I'm trying to choose wisely because a lot of them are not suitable for drive time radio.
You're kicking it, right?
Yeah.
So half of the dynamic duo of McNeil and Parkins shall return tomorrow. The Dan McNeil portion will be here with the Matt Spiegel portion.
Because he's $6 million Mac. He's been rebuilt.
Yes.
They made him stronger.
Got a new shoulder. And so look forward to hearing Mac back on the air tomorrow. Danny Parkins still home with his brand new baby, Owen.
Owen!
Of the Parkinses. Hope
Congrats,
that those guys
Owen,
are
Steph,
doing great.
The very impatient Owen who decided he needed to hurry up, get up out of there.
Yep.
Now that he was out of there, he got home ahead of schedule, which is certainly a good thing.
He's looking happy. Looking happy. He's looking healthy. He's looking adorable. And the Parko shall return when the time is right. But McNeil and Spiegel going down tomorrow. This hour on The Score being brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights. The brighter way to buy. Coming up at 5 o'clock, it's the Grody solo hour. On that hour, not because I want to be solo,
because a daily event. On
Big
the
Ant Heron has decided that he's got to leave.
I only got so much in me today, Grody.
I did
3 hours this morning for Sirius
that's
XM,
right.
And then
I forgot about that.
I don't really get a chance for a respite afterwards because, like, at 9 o'clock. We were teaching my 2-year-old to start to read the clock at home. Like, all right, at 9:00, daddy's done in the office. You can go out and knock on the door, and we're teaching the call and response to, okay, so when you knock on the door, then the person on the other side says, who is it? And for a while, it was he knock and ask, who is it? It's the cutest thing in the world. Now, he knocks, he waits. Who is it? It's Bishop. And then, you know, you open the door and let him in. So he's usually there at 9:01 just waiting for the door. So I don't get a chance after, you know, the early morning shift to take a nap. And so Bishop is there. Came here today with you. And, really legitimately, the solo hours because I need to get home. Wife's got some coaching to do this evening.
Yes, I totally understand. Good for you to be a good father and to keep up with the Eddie Murphy motif. Your kids should say, who is it?
Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
All right, speaking of hilarity, you witnessed some hilarity this weekend that I did not and I have not heard. So please, Anthony Heron, set this up for us.
I just kind of happened upon it, man. I got referenced because Friday night was an absolute zoo down here, as I'm sure you saw living in the area too, between Valentine's Day and the car show. And the NBA All-Star Weekend being in town. So went out and about, had an event. I went to Friday night, saw some former Bulls out there, which was a lot of fun. Former NFL guys, too, with our retired NFL chapter who's here in the city. But then also being out and about a bit on Saturday. So, you know, okay, I'm out, run the streets a little bit, get home. And I just sort of happened upon this after the NBA All-Star festivities ended with the skills competition, the three-point shootout, the slam dunk contest. That goes off. I'm done watching that. And then TNT had this Inside the NBA Celebrity Roast, which I didn't even know was on, didn't know was a thing. I'm getting ready to change the channel, look to something else. And I set Inside the NBA to record just thinking it was going to be the guys, you know, Charles, Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie reacting to what they had just seen. But it was actually Tiffany Haddish emceeing a celebrity roast with some of the folks out there on the stage. And, you know, especially start looking at it and see who's trending on Twitter with this and that. And a lot of it was dunk contest, but a lot of it was the roast that was going on, too. And you've seen these roasts, you know, things get a little colorful. They were bleeping a lot of the language out when necessary. But two that really stood out to me, I thought that, I mean, you know, part of it was they had Gary Payton out there trying to roast people. And, you know, he's Gary Payton. He's not, he's not a comic. Yes, he's a glove. He's not a comedian. But I thought that, both J.B. Smoove and Jeffrey Ross had a number of really good moments. Just picked out a couple of them just for the folks. And I already saw when you referenced it before the break, some of the folks on the text line didn't even know that it existed. It was on TNT on Saturday night. I saw when I was looking that they had a couple of other replays that were going on as well. So if you got TNT, you'll be able to check it out, probably either on demand or on a replay. But we've got a few clips for you here just to give you a little flavor for what was going on. Jeffrey Ross is, you know, you guys would probably know his face if you don't know his name. Mark Grody was referencing that he's the guy who does all these roasts whenever there's celebrity roasts going on. We'll save him for the back end of it because I think he was probably the best one of the night. But J.B. Smoove has some pretty funny moments too. He started off where he was talking about Tiffany Haddish, who's kind of become this rising star in the comedic acting field. She does some stand-up as well. And there's something about her appearance that, J.B. Smoove was referencing. He'd given her some advice about.
Tiffany, I'm proud of you, girl.
Thank you.
Years ago, she asked me if she should remove mole off her damn face. And what I say, Tiffany? What I say, Tiffany? I said, no. Don't you cut that damn mole off your face. I said, no. You got that black-ass jelly bean on your damn face for a reason. God gave you that big-ass mole, and look what happened. Look what God did.
Nice.
So that was a piece of J.B. Smoove talking about Tiffany Haddish. He also, because, of course, all these roasts end up turning into, all right, we get the folks on the dais a little bit. Like, you've probably roasted some folks before, Grody. You seem like a roast type of guy.
I never have. They're harsh, though, man.
The folks on the collective dais
absolutely.
Sitting over
it's
there.
The people on the periphery that you get. Yes.
You get the comics a little bit, and then you get to sort of the main course, the folks who everyone is there to roast. And that was, of course, Shaq, EJ, Kenny, and in this one, JB had some advice for Charles.
And what about you, Chuck? What about you, Chuck? Chuck, what about you, baby? Athletes always talk about life after retirement. You should embrace a new career. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you're great at the show. You're great at what you do right now. You're great at what you do, man. Don't get me wrong. You know? But this, you should expand. Like Shaq. Shaq everywhere, man. He's everywhere. I'll tell you what you need to do. You should embrace a second, third, and fourth job. Maybe something like Urban Dictionary Editor or Banana Pudding Inspector. Or maybe, how about this idea? A comfy chair breaker inner. You know what I mean? Charles, come to your house. You got a brand new lazy boy. Stiff as hell. You know, it's all hard and stiff. He come over there with his big fat wide ass, sits down and stands up like 50 or 60 damn times. Let's keep standing up. Like 70 times, 80 times. Let's keep sitting down and getting up. Sitting down and getting up. And work that chair and as comfortable as you doze off in that damn chair. But Charles' ass been in that chair.
You know what? I have to give some credit to Charles Barkley on one thing from this weekend. This was the first year that I remember in ever, that Charles Barkley did not lose his voice the day of the All-Star game from partying on Friday.
It's
the first time he didn't have whiskey voice coming back from the game. Because you notice that? Like,
voice,
you go back,
cigar voice,
go review the tape, man. Go year after year after year. Charles Barkley's voice was always trashed by the actual game on Sunday.
Which, when it's All-Star weekend and a lot of the adult shenanigans going on, you would certainly understand why that's the case, but he does have a gig to do at the end of the weekend. But the voice of Sir Charles, that's an accurate observation. I hadn't even thought about it that way. He could still talk by the end of the weekend.
Pretty amazing.
Kudos to him. Maybe he's recognizing how old he's starting to get. Well, Jeffrey Ross, who's kind of the main host at most of these events, he had some funny lines out there as well. He started off with a pretty extensive array of jokes about the size of one Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq, you and me, we've been friends a long time. I've been following your legendary career. There's nobody like you in the world, Shaq. You, sir, are an anomaly. But don't ever quote me on that, because nobody wants to hear you say anomaly. It wasn't easy for young Shaq growing up. He had a lot of trouble in school, mostly getting in and out of the desks. Poor little Shaquille, always running out of lunch money at breakfast. It was a tough childhood. But Shaq, you managed to develop a good sense of humor, even though the kids teased you for wearing your book bag as a fanny pack. But it was on the playground where you became Shaq and discovered your true passion, men's gymnastics. But after the swing set collapse, your mom signed you up for basketball, and the rest is history. Face it, Shaq, you are gigantic. That suit is bigger than the one against Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, whoa.
And you knew there was going to be a moment for Jeff Ross where he went there. He definitely did it with that one. And as always, they finished up. He finished up getting on Charles Barkley.
I was
Mr. Barkley, I love you. How many Charles Barkley fans in here tonight? All right. Charles Barkley looks like he puts his whole mouth over the drinking fountain. But folks, when the great Charles Barkley speaks, he keeps it real. He doesn't sugarcoat anything except his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Charles Barkley only agreed to be in the movie Space Jam because he thought it was about jelly that was out of this world.
Jeffrey Ross, ladies and gentlemen, the roast master. The roast was on TNT. Yeah,
TNT.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was good. It's funny. Does. Like it was. Those were good. Those were funny. But man, I've heard him be, and they were harsh. But I've seen him be a lot more harsh than that. With
I wonder if you know it being. I wonder if the approach is a little different. If it's because it's a sports crowd and maybe a little bit more family friendly.
It's
with
not
it
late night
like
on
that.
Comedy Central
right,
like
exactly.
they usually
it's
are.
A little bit different with that. So he did seem to dial it.
It
back
It was
just
dialed
a little
back
bit.
A little bit, but it was still good. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Heron in for McNeil and Parkins. David Schuster at the top of the hour to talk more about the Bulls. And you are welcome, too. We haven't really taken many calls, but 312-644-6767.
We haven't.
Not really. We're textable at 670-11. You can find us both on Twitter as well. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, let me rock it, let me rock it.
Yeah.
Let me rock it, that's all I want to do. Chaka Khan, let me rock it, let me rock it, Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me feel for you. Chaka Khan, what you want to do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you?
Yo, Mark Grody, Anthony Heron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are together for about another 5-6 minutes or so, and then I've got the solo hour from 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And right now, speaking of music, we got something for you. Be caller number 6 right now and win a pair of tickets to see Dead & Company at Wrigley Field on July 24th. What number are they supposed to call, Sean Anderson? Shout it out, buddy.
312-591-6700.
Okay. 312-591-6700. If you are caller number 6, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on July 24th. I am lining up my concert season as well.
You did kind of a concert season in review at the end of 2019.
I right? did. It was a very complicated year for me. I saw Korn and Katy Perry, basically. Korn was terrific, and then I went to Jingle Bash featuring Katy Perry and Company, so it was the oddest year
and
ever
Is that
for me.
To Dead and Company?
Dead and
Katy
Company.
Perry has Company?
Well,
now?
She had there were a bunch of other acts because it was Jingle Bash at Allstate Arena, as they do every year, courtesy of B96. And there will be, there is a Rage Against the Machine concert in my future this year at the United Center. I believe that is in May. So I'm lining it back up so far. So good.
Me.
There'll be a Guns N' Roses concert for me at Wrigley Field. So I'm getting ahead of things a little bit more this year than I did last year when it was just Korn and Katy.
I'm trying to determine how far I'm willing to travel to see Elton John. I mean, he's going to roll back through Chicago. Far as I can tell, all those tickets are snatched up already. But I think, like when Michael Jackson, of course, posthumous at this point, but when he was planning the show over in London, my wife and I were going to travel over to London to check that out. I wanted to see MJ live. Elton John, I don't know that I want to travel real far, but I'd like to see him live if this is legitimately going to be the last time he tours. If nothing else, might be the last time he tours where he still sounds like the Elton John. At a certain point, the guys just start to lose their fastball. As they get a little older, a little longer in the tooth, they really can't carry the notes like they used to. But Elton John still sounds good. He still sounds like Elton John at his age right now. So it might be the last chance to really get the full scope of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, here's a little secret for you. There is no band ever, even the dead ones, the ones that have literally died, there is no band that ever retires. They all have reunion tours. They don't actually ever quit. And they eventually get back together.
Well, you bring up Elton John and, you know, seeing him before he goes, I thought I saw the last Elton John Chicago show.
Really?
And then he announced he was coming back more. Yeah, I met Danny Mac outside walking out, and it was the last time he was supposed to be in Chicago at the UC, and then he announces more tours.
You're really? 12. How old were you when that happened?
It was two years ago. Yeah,
right.
When he first announced that this reunion tour was going to be his last one, and then he rolls out the second part of his reunion tour.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
I
Mac
see.
Was yes. at an Elton John concert?
Yeah, him and his wife were walking out, and he's like, you know, Mac doing the Mac like kind of like run. He's like running out of a break to go smoke.
Get to his Marlboro. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, it's Dan McNeil. Because this was before I started working.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's Dan McNeil. And I had like this, I have a bad anxiety going up to people like, hello. But I went up and did it. And I was like, hello. And it was like, hey, nice to meet you. And it was like 7 seconds.
That's hilarious.
So at least advice to people out there, go say hi to people that you know.
He doesn't necessarily seem like an Elton John guy, but I thought maybe some of the old school, the bitches. Back,
yeah.
I could see him being into some of that, but all right. So what? So you got Elton John potentially? Anything else that you're angling? I know things are a little more complicated, having a little Bishop and all, but
it makes it a little bit tough.
Yeah.
You know, we got to like take him down to the burbs to my folks or something like that, then come back into the city. Then we got to get back down to the burbs to see them if we're gonna do it that way. At a certain point, my wife and I have come to the realization we need to get a legit professional babysitter just to like have her clock in, clock out. Or him, clock in and clock out, I suppose. There could be some guy who'd win me over.
No.
I don't think that was all right. But, you know, I think that overall, this is probably the year for that to happen. We haven't done it yet. Hadn't been really in my comfort for the moment. We've, you know, pretty much relied on family to step in when necessary. But this might be that year.
The NFL Scouting Combine is coming soon.
Days away.
It is Feb 24th through March 2nd. So not this week. But next week, I will be landing in Indianapolis on Sunday. I will be at the Combine in Indianapolis.
You'll be at the Ryan Pace presser?
That's right. We'll see. And nothing's been scheduled as of yet.
Actually,
huh?
Just got the email. Check your email.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Schedule's out. Schedule's out, bro.
Yes.
Break some news here.
Will you be there, sir?
No. No.
Okay. The Bears.
I will be there in spirit. You go for me.
The free agency, middle March, March 16th-ish. The draft is April 23rd, and the Bears have two picks in the second round, the 11th pick of the second round, the 18th pick of the second round, all eyes on offense, offensive line, tight end, even quarterback in the draft. You go in any other directions but those as it pertains to free agency or the draft?
Offensive line and tight end, I'd say, are the biggest priorities. Defensive back will likely be, and they've drafted a lot of DBs here in recent years, but there hasn't been one who has necessarily stepped forward to make them feel comfortable and saying, all right, Prince, you got kind of a big price tag. We'll let you go, clear up some cap space. It feels like that may be the direction they go anyway, but they're probably going to keep drafting corners, keep drafting DBs in general. I mean, you need a lot of them getting through the season with all those, you know, kind of soft tissue injuries that tend to come up there. And you want to continue to see if you can find the Eddie Jackson types who aren't there in the top 10 who can turn into Pro Bowlers. So they're going to keep swinging away at that. But I do think really it's the same two positions I said they should have targeted last year when I was talking about going into the 2019 draft. Offensive tackle, tight end, they got to get deeper at those spots. I'm not, you know, out on the tight end position, you know, currently as it is positioned for the Bears. You know, Adam Shaheen, sure, I'm out on him. But I do think overall, you got the opportunity if Trey Burton's healthy, that there's some plays that can be made there. Because I thought he was fine in 2018 when he was healthy. He just hadn't been healthy since then. Similar to you, Darvis discussion.
Yeah, good call. You know, I like what J.P. Holtz did last year, but he should not be your leading tight end. I like what Jesper Horsted did, but we should not have been calling his name. Trey Burton, you know, if he's healthy, I like what he did 2 years ago. As we both agree, it's Adam Shaheen is simply not going to be your starting Y tight end. There are a lot of interesting names on the free agent market that, you know what, you and I can get to when we host together this Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be in for Lawrence Holmes from noon to 2 on Thursday and Friday, so we can break down more of that. Do you have the email open in terms of what time? When is tell the masses, man? I'm too lazy to open it up.
So we're going to have Bears GM.
There it is.
Bears GM Ryan Pace will be available at 10 a.m. from the JW Marriott on February 25th.
Is that Monday?
I didn't look into that level of detail.
Yes, it is. Nope, that's a Tuesday.
Well, what's today? Today is the...
February 25 is a Tuesday.
A week from tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. So a week from tomorrow, Ryan Pace will be at the JW Marriott addressing the assembled media, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Matt Nagy, Bears coach from the NFL Combine location from Lucas Oil Stadium, will be at the Combine podium at 11:15 a.m. Eastern time, same date. So that is where you can find the Bears as it relates to their time in Indianapolis through next weekend.
So the big stuff is Tuesday.
Well, there's going to be guys on the field and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's another dirty little secret about the Combine. We, reporters, never get to get into. We do not get into the stadium.
But I just mean as far as why there's activities going on before then is going to be the more important
stuff. There's a lot of mingling that goes on. That was an eye-opener to me when I started covering the NFL and the Bears 2 years ago. I just always had assumed that those reporters that were covering the Combine actually got to watch the players work out. And that's big no. They do not. We get to interview the players. We get to talk to many college scouts and college players heading into the pros, but we do not get to watch men run in underwear.
And the interesting thing is now in recent years, they've started to allow some fans to go in there and view it from the stands as well, but the live broadcast portion of it is very specific. It was specific to only the NFL Network for a while. Now you get, you know, some other opportunities for some folks to show a little bit of footage here and there, too. But I do think that for Ryan Pace, for Matt Nagy, and what they're doing in Indianapolis, obviously the eyes and ears of Chicago Bears fans will be trained very, very squarely upon them.
Anthony, thanks for being here for at least 3 hours today. I know you got some business to which attend. I am going to take it from here, my friend, and I will see you on Thursday, correct?
Hands of one Marcus
Grote. See about that. Yes. Find out about that.
I got faith in you. We're all counting on you, Grotes.
All right, man. See you Thursday.
All right. Sounds good, buddy.
That's Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grote. I'll be back after this, and David Schuster will join me on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.